Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
Well, if you were to say anything other than it was a beautiful day, I would be concerned. I would think the world has stopped and time is frozen and the world is upside down.
Well, if it was snowing or something like that, I wouldn't be saying it's a beautiful day.
I don't think we're anywhere near snow.
I'm enjoying this while I can.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be 90, that's all right.
Well,
Could be worse. It could be 105.
Yeah, that's true. It could be 105. You could have hurricanes these days.
Oh, my Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord we live in Texas.
Oof. Wow.
Wow. I would never in my life live anywhere on a Gulf Coast.
No.
I didn't realize how dangerous it could be. I did not know.
I know it. I know it.
These people are in so much trouble. They've got the hurricanes. They've got the tornadoes. I mean, a lot of these places will never recover.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to take, you know, generations to, and it just seems like in the last several weeks, Florida, you know, they had the storm that came up and did the panhandle. And now this one went and got the rest of it. It's like one after another. It's really strange. And this is a big one.
Insurance companies are saying they're pulling out of Florida, and they're not going to insure their houses anymore. What are they going to do?
Oh, wow. Ooh, that's...
And up in North Carolina and Georgia, the whole towns are gone. Asheville, North Carolina, you know, it was a big tourist place.
Yeah.
It's devastated. And all these people that lived up in the mountains, they're stranded, absolutely stranded. All those houses that showed rushing down the rivers, my Lord.
Mm.
And people that were in cars, they found them. I mean, we don't know how many actually passed away. It's a horrible deal.
It is.
And I didn't know that Mother Nature could be this vicious.
Mm. Me neither.
I mean, hurricanes, we've never forgot Katrina, how bad it was.
Mm.
But this is as bad as Katrina.
Yeah, I've even seen some reports where they were like, because you've got the main hurricane itself, but then you've got the tornadoes. I've even seen people saying that that there were tornadoes as a result of this, like 100 miles away from the actual hurricane. I mean, it's far and wide. It's just so.
Yeah, I didn't hear how far away. I just saw on television there was a lot of tornadoes, and I said, if the tornado doesn't wipe them out, the hurricane will.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have all these reports, people being turned away that want to help, pilots and helicopter pilots, and some of them were threatened with arrest. I don't understand what's going on.
Wow.
I mean, it was reported that the FEMA people are all in luxury hotels.
Oh,
and here
really?
Our people are... on the floor, so to speak, on the ground, don't have a place to stay, don't have food. And a lot of people have given millions, and now they've got to put that to work.
Wow.
I know it's not enough without the government, but at least they're trying.
My gosh. I mean, it just the money and the resources that have to be collected really quickly. And then dispersed on a wide scale just for people to get through, just one day, even just simple things, water, food, supplies.
And one lady sent generators and saved a lot of people's lives.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
She saw it on television and she reacted immediately, sent all these generators, and several people said it saved their lives.
Wow.
Because they had all these health issues and nothing was working. And by her sending the generators, they got their life saved. So that was really appreciative. But a lot of people have sent a lot of money, a lot of things there. I just hope it gets to the people.
I know it. I know it. You always see, pretty much any time there's a storm, usually there's some organization, but then you've always got, the people that'll try to, pull a fast one, or they'll take donations, but they never actually disperse them to the cause, or, there's always, mass confusion sometimes. And so hopefully, you're right. Hopefully some of it all of it will get to where it needs to be.
Let's hope it all gets to the people that need it. And then they'll quit saying they're going to arrest people for trying to help. I don't understand that.
Really?
It doesn't make sense to me. They need every volunteer in America they can get, I think.
Yeah.
You know, all the groups that are volunteering, they're giving their time and their talent and trying to help their fellow man.
Yeah. Wow.
And I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's miscommunication. I just can't figure it out. Because we're not there and we're not seeing it except on television.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say. And you know what you see on TV and then what you see on social media, and you know, anybody can post anything on, you know, social media, and anybody like you, me, without even knowing.
That's
right.
That's why I'm always so careful.
Yeah.
What I say about it, because we're not there. We're just seeing it from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah. Yeah. But boy, it is. One thing is for sure that we do know for sure is that, you know, is a devastating. I think it was like number five or something on like the biggest storms of, I don't know. It was number five on the list, so it was a big one.
A big one. It was a big one, and it was just storm after storm has hit them, and it's just everything is just devastated. And water is a killer. That's just no doubt about it.
Yes.
Once it starts sweeping, it'll take out everything inside. You know, I saw it took out part of Interstate 40.
Did it really?
I didn't know that was possible because, you know, that's all concrete. And I didn't know you could take out that. But
wow.
It showed big portions of Interstate 40 missing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. So even getting to location, either getting in or out now, is challenging.
That's right. It's very, very hard.
Mm.
And I just hope we have some good reports that they're letting everybody help, that the food is getting to them, the water. We know the generators did. And that they locate all the people in the mountain area that are really suffering. And all these people said, you know, we're suffering so bad.
Yeah.
You know, they need everything. Their cars are gone. Their houses are gone.
Yeah. Wow.
It's devastating.
It is, and it's going to take, you know, years and years to rebuild, and you know, and then in the meantime, and this is always the thing that kind of fascinates me, is that, you know, even after something this massive goes through, you know, here we are a couple of days later, you know, and there's still, you know, the cleanup is going to go on for a very long time. But then as they, you know, clear everything out and then they start to rebuild, well, then there's more storms that start, you know, forming again, and then come back in the middle of the restoration process. And so, yeah, I don't know if you ever really fully get rebuilt or not. I've never lived in
a location. I think it will take years and years. And they said these houses in Georgia and North Carolina, they were not covered. They did not have flood insurance.
Oh, no.
So I don't know how that's going to work. How are they going to rebuild their businesses and their houses? I don't know.
Wow. Oh, boy. That's just...
It's not going to be good, I can tell
you. No.
Be thankful we live in Texas and that we're high ground.
Yeah, yeah, really. Goodness.
I mean, you want to be high ground. You don't want to be on that ocean.
No, that's for sure. Well, it seems like it's getting harder to be in a quote-unquote safe place. I mean, I suppose we're in, you know, the best that we can be, but, you know, gosh, there's, you know, weird weather things that are happening all over the place. Where they
That's right.
Used
we
to.
Have a lot of tornadoes here.
Yeah.
But not like what that was.
Wow. Yeah. So here we go. As we get into and this is such a bad time of year, too, as we get into the holiday season, you know, you never like to see people that are, you know, displaced and, you know, because of these storms and total destruction, you know, they literally have like nothing left. And here we are going into the holidays and all that. So, you know, maybe this, I know we're still like a month and a half away from Thanksgiving, but still gives us something to be thankful for that we are here in Texas for sure. So.
That's right. We should be really thankful.
Yeah. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So in the investment world, what do we have to be thankful for this week? What's
Well, we're thankful that everybody's portfolio is making money. I love that. the annuities I'm speaking of right now, I've been getting reports. Everybody's portfolio is looking good. They're all positive. We've got some new trackers that we can track almost instantly what the index are doing.
Really?
It's going to really be a help, yes. So when I tell somebody something, I can look it up. And we, in real time, it'll show us.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that. They have not taken the 13% bonus down or away. We've still got it. Anybody that wants to be conservative, I would suggest an annuity in this crazy world. An annuity is solid. You know, the companies have been in business 100 years or more. They're worth billions and billions of dollars. It's tax deferred. It's compound interest. You can take money out after the first year. You can take lifetime income. There's so many choices. And it's never directly in the stock market. It mirrors the stock market, but it is not in the stock market. That's why you've got a stop loss, where if the index goes down, you don't lose a dime. It just stands still. We only get the positive results. So I would highly recommend at this time in our life an annuity. You know, an index fixed annuity, not a variable annuity. A variable annuity has got mutual funds in it, and you can take a sharp loss. So be sure it's an index fixed annuity, and hopefully with us.
Yeah. So I hate to ask, because I don't want to create panic, especially if it's unnecessary. I don't want to scare people, but we seem to be...
Oh, come on, scare us.
Blah. we seem to be in kind of a, maybe a, how do I say this, choppy water season, where people...
We
over the
are
next...
choppy waters.
I've seen some reports, you know, even on TV and social media and articles that I read, that people are, I don't want to say they're predicting doom, but they're very, very nervous about the next several weeks, maybe the next couple of months. What do you think? Are we in for some trouble, do you think? Or
well, the big boys, the people that have got billions, are saying be very careful right now. These are guys that have been investing, gurus, you know, for a long, long time. And they're saying it's a very uncertain time, that we should batten down the hatches, that we need to be cautious. And if you want to really be cautious, be sure that no matter what happens, your principal is safe. You know, if your principal's safe, it doesn't matter what happens to the rest of the world. If you've got that principal locked down, you know nothing can happen to it, you're all right.
Yeah.
So if you're in a life settlement, you know, that's safe. If you're in annuities, you're safe. If you're anywhere out here on the horizon, a lot of the other things right now are not, just not nailed down. We don't know what's going to happen. If you're in the market, you're at great risk. It could go good and it could go very bad. The risk, I think, is very unpredictable right now. And the big guys are saying you need to have everything nailed down.
So with an annuity, you know, like you were saying before, it mirrors the stock market. So if it goes up, your annuity goes up. If the stock market goes down, your annuity holds steady. You don't lose everything like you would if you were just in the stock market. So there's that stopgap measure. But have you seen, because I know that there has been some talk about the bonuses going away with annuities. Have you seen an uptick in people interested in annuities maybe before the bonuses go away or because of when?
Well, I've had several people come over. I've had some calls about it. I think everybody says it's going to, the annuity is going to, the bonus is going to go down. And I've been getting all kinds of things from people saying what the rates are going to be, that the rates are all coming down on annuities, like your fixed rate. Now, a company called me yesterday. They said they had a 6% guaranteed for 5 years.
Oh.
That's unheard of. We don't have any six, I can tell you. on the normal ones that I do. They were 5.5 and 5.8, and those have come down because there's going to be another rate adjustment by the government. Hmm. And so everybody is preparing for that and, lowering their rates. But right now, if you're in an index, you don't have those restrictions like a fixed rate. So an annuity with an index is still the best way to go. Index annuities are the best.
Annuities have always been a wonderful conservative investment. It just seems like in the last, couple of years maybe, that they've had a little bit more interest, a little bit more attention, or, whatever you...
Well, they've gotten better. Used to, you couldn't get an index. Years ago, it was a fixed rate. That's all they could offer.
Really?
Or the variable annuity that has the mutual funds in it, which is a great risk. It can make money, but it also could lose your principal in a variable annuity. So we don't do variable annuities. We just do index and fixed rate, and those are the safest. Now, when you do a life settlement, again, you're talking about a life insurance product. The risk is not there because, remember, this is a life insurance policy on someone that has cancer. Whatever kind of cancer they've got, we're on it. And, we just closed the G policy. And we've got two more big policies that I think we'll be closing this next week, hopefully.
Cool.
And so we've got a lot of product on hand right now. People have got a lot of money with us right now, and they want it fully invested, and that's what we intend to do. But when you buy into an investment like a life settlement, first of all, it's with a life insurance company. So the risk is not there. It's not like the stock market. And this person has got cancer. We buy their policy, and then we put our clients in it. Now, when it matures, the bank steps in. They get the certified death certificate. They put the money in your account. We use a trustee. People need to always know that. We use a separate trustee on every transaction.
Hmm.
So it's not like when you go into the stock market and see somebody. They have complete control of your account. No one controls your account at Nevada Trust.
Yeah, that's a
big
deal.
We have to have your permission for anything we do. The bank has to have your permission. So we've got that locked down.
It's a good point you bring up, because I know you've talked about, people who are in the stock market, before, who have, you asked them, what are you in? And they have no idea. With the life settlement,
that's right.
Exactly what you're in.
Somebody else is handling your money, your decisions. You're not making them. And I can ask people, what are you invested in? Well, I don't know. Well, what have you made? Lots of times they cannot tell me.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, be conservative. It's a perilous time in the United States. We have an election coming up that is scary. I mean, flat scary.
Yeah.
So everybody should be cautious. They should be on alert, high alert, and they also should vote. Everybody should vote. Anybody that doesn't vote, I don't want to hear them complain about anything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
If you vote, then you've got to say, in what happens in America.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't vote, you have no say.
Exactly.
You haven't done anything.
Yeah.
All the churches right now are saying, they're signing people up to vote. They're saying vote like you've never voted before. If you've just been laying back, this is the year that's really important.
Yeah.
It's important to every man and woman to vote. It depends how you want to live.
And that's really what it comes down to, too. It's an entire lifestyle that you're voting on. So
that's right. If you want to improve your the economy, if you want things to change, then you need to think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The cost of food, the cost of everything. Look at all the companies that went belly up.
Oh my gosh!
And so that tells you the economy is not what it ought to be.
Yeah. Boy, I know you've over the last really since COVID broke out, you've talked about a lot of companies that have gone under who have been around for a century, some of them, and it's just shocking some of the big names of businesses that have
and TGI Fridays, who started in Dallas, Texas, a famous company, and they went under, and somebody's taken them over. I mean, it's just every time I look around. Some famous name that we're familiar with has gone under, and it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The ones that haven't went under are your oil companies.
Yes.
They're out here making money, pumping gas, pumping oil. Everybody's using it. They're doing good. But your average people, a lot of the real estate companies, these big office buildings have not panned out.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, you talked about all kinds of things. It's difficult to find things to invest in right now that are quote unquote safe. Like you say, in real estate, restaurants, retail, all these different things. But with either an annuity or a life settlement, both of them hold steady. And it doesn't matter. I mean, like you said, there's an election coming up. Things are a little bit chaotic. You've got potential war overseas, and these are all these conditions that we've been talking about over many, many years that can affect, like the stock market and people's investments and their assets. And, you start to flash back to different things like 2008. It's like, these things affect all these things. And with a life settlement or an annuity, none of these things affect the investment. And every time that we've gone through a situation historically, like we're in now, people who have been in, say, like a life settlement, have not only maintained, but they're thriving because nothing affects the investment at all. Full value gets paid every time. And so.
And that reminds me, a longtime client has passed away. I mentioned this the other day, that he was very ill, David Truitt. I looked up how long David had been with us. He came to me in 2015, long, long time ago. David was a mathematical genius, in my opinion. He taught at Midland College. He taught at several other colleges. During his lifetime, he taught 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he's one of the best people I've known in my lifetime. He always had a smile on his face. He was always happy. And, we can't say that every day. A lot of people are kind of grumpy sometimes.
Yeah.
But after he retired and after he came with us, he visited every major city and state. He's been to all 48 states. He would call me and he'd say, Faye, I just got back from this place. This is all the historical things. He would tell me about the different states, everything he'd visited. Then he'd talk about the trivia. He never missed our shows. And he would talk to me about trivia. What I thought was so funny, when he was getting ready to leave town or even coming back, he'd come in the office to see us, and he'd have on his shorts, a flowered shirt, tennis shoes. He's ready for adventure. And his life was one big adventure. One of the nicest people I've ever known in my life. I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. He was born in Crane, Texas. He'll be buried in Crane. He was one of three children. It was a single person. I don't believe he had any brothers or sisters. I was thinking about his children. He had three daughters. He said the most important things in his life, first was being a Christian, second, his children, third was his grandchildren.
Hmm.
So he loved his grandchildren. He traveled the world, seeing the world, and did it by himself. How many of us would go off by ourselves
really? And
enjoy it?
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was so comfortable just being by himself, traveling. He would go up in the mountains in New Mexico where it was cool, and he'd stay a month or two. So he really enjoyed himself, and we will miss him.
Wow. Sounds like a great guy. I'm sorry to hear that.
I was too. He got cancer a little over a year ago, and it was And but you know, I talked to him 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And he was able to talk to me, and he called me back and could not talk.
Hmm.
So it happened pretty quickly.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear about that. Yeah.
I know a lot of people will be at the funeral because he taught an awful lot of people math.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he had a couple degrees, and math was his passion. And after high school, he decided he wanted to go to college and teach math in college.
Wow.
So he had the degrees for it. And someone said it's a shame, you know, that he got brain cancer as smart as he was, you know, and it took him out.
Wow.
But anyway.
So he helped people and was a great guy and enjoyed life.
He was a great guy, enjoyed life, always had a smile on his face. I never saw him frowning.
Really?
And he would bring candy to our office, different things. He always thought of others, I guess is what was so great about him. You know, not only was he happy and cheerful, but he always thought of other people.
Hmm. That's nice. You don't see that very often.
You don't see that very often. And so anyway, we will miss him.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
So on to the investments, either one. If a person's got a live settlement, you know, they're safe during the turmoil. If any of the banks should fail, it's not going to hurt them because they're invested in an insurance company. Same way with annuities. You're in an insurance company that has billions of dollars. And they're not building houses. They're not making loans to anybody.
Yeah.
So that makes their assets solid.
Yeah. They're like literally with life settlements, when the policy matures, they pay the full amount. They never discount it based on market conditions or if somebody, you know, feels like it or whatever. It's always the full amount. And they've always got the reserves on hand. Like it's like literally in a pile. Well, not literally, but it's theoretically in a pile in a building someplace. They don't have to, like you say, they don't have it in another loan over here or, you know, something like that.
No, and they don't have to go borrow money to pay you.
Uh-uh.
The money is there. The cash is there. They can write a check for $10, $20 million, whatever they need to do immediately.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait on your money. All we have to wait on is getting the death certificate over there. And we've changed the way they do that, so now that's faster.
Mm. Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better. You know, it seems like, you know, over the last couple of years, all the improvements that have been made, not only with, you know, the speed of you know, policies when they mature, the payout and things like that, but also like the information, the doctors, the scientists, the you know, the data, the analysis, the speed.
It's a lot better. Yes.
Yeah. It just gets better and better all the time.
And we had another maturity this week. It wasn't a big one, $300,000.
Oh, wow.
But, we bought it some time back. So that four people are getting paid on that. We're getting that sent in to get the death certificate, and they'll be paid in a few weeks. So another good policy is matured for us, so we like that. You know, we like those maturities coming all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to kind of put things in perspective, say, just for example, I'm just going to make up a totally fake scenario here, but say on...
A fake deal? My goodness.
It's kind of my thing.
Okay.
Say the market crashes on November 6th and a policy matures on November 7th. People will get paid. So most people who are in the stock market, say, if it was to crash, theoretically, they would be, you know, literally counting to see if they have anything left. But people who are in a life settlement, if a policy matures while other people are, scrambling, if a policy matures, they're getting the full amount. It goes right in their bank account and they're making money while other people are losing money. So just to kind of put it in perspective, is that an accurate portrayal?
That's the actual truth.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what happens with the stock market, with the election. Whatever goes wrong or how bad or how good it gets, your investment in a life insurance policy is steady. It's as steady as you go. It's not affected by the election, thank goodness. It's not affected by the stock market, thank goodness, or the economy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gosh, there's so many.
Your principal is always there.
Yeah. There's you can look around and see so many different types of investments that are really affected by all these different conditions that are not controllable. The variables that affect these things are so, I mean, it's like trying to catch wind in a bottle. You know, it's
exactly
just crazy.
Right.
But with a life settlement, it's straight up. It's solid. It is what it is. It's not one of these things where people are going to get rich overnight, but by setting these up properly and getting in as many policies as possible, having, as you say, a diversified portfolio, you've got policies that are maturing, you're getting paid, you're reinvesting, and there's just kind of like this, I don't want to say, I guess for lack of a better term, almost like a leapfrog kind of a thing. So you get paid for some, you reinvest, and then you get paid for others, and then you reinvest, and people's wealth just, it grows exponentially over time, and it doesn't matter what the market condition is. And so it's proven to be a wonderful investment for many, many people who are looking for something conservative.
And let me mention this. Everybody has beneficiaries on everything we do. If you have a life policy, you've got beneficiaries. You got annuity, you've got beneficiaries. But I find that the heirs will be calling before the death certificate is dry. So, they don't understand or they're anxious or something. They will call before the people have even been buried and ask questions about the accounts.
Oh, geez.
You need to have these accounts set up. You need to tell the people that it's going to inherit. Yes, you're going to be in charge of that. Here's what I want done, or here's what I don't want done. You need to make your what you want clear. Don't leave it in a shambles where they come to me and one of them thinks they're getting this and the other one thinks they're getting it, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Get it all mapped out in writing. Make the expectation crystal clear.
Or if you've got enough assets, do a trust. Let the trust control everything. Put it in the trust. This person's getting this. This person's getting this. This one's getting the annuities. Just reinforcement. The annuities have their own beneficiaries, but sometimes you need wording. It says, hey, the beneficiary on the annuity is over here. Beneficiary on my life settlements is over here. And, that's it, folks.
Hmm.
Because a lot of them will say, well, are my brothers on that? Do they get that money? I've even had the question asked this week. Well, now that my mother has passed away, will the policies go back to the original owners?
Oh, really?
I mean, that's they don't understand.
Wow.
We own those policies. Our clients are owners of those policies. The policy's not going anywhere if your mother dies.
Hmm.
It's going to stay right there in her account. And you need to give directions. After I die, I want the policies to go on like they are. I want my annuity to pay you out over a period of time where you get interest. It's just you need to make it clear.
Now, annuities are separate from an estate, right? They can't be challenged.
That's right. That's right. An annuity is by itself. Whoever's in that annuity, they're going to get that money in about 12 days.
Oh, wow.
Unless you don't want it that way, unless you want to take a payout. You can take a 5-year payout. You can take a 10-year payout, whatever you want to do. But the annuity is controlled by what the owner wants. Mm. The owner has already made the decision as to how they want it handled. And unless they've changed it, we have that happen. Lots of times afterwards, after they take something out, they'll say, my niece is not doing what I want her to do. Take my niece out.
Mm.
And they'll do that. So, it's up to them. Whoever they want, that's what we're going to have.
So they can change it on an annuity just because they set
it
up one
way. Oh, they can change it on anything we have.
Okay.
It's not set in stone.
All right. Because sometimes people have a falling out.
They do. I mean, absolutely.
It's a lot. You've told some horror stories of.
I know some horror stories, yes. I know some people that thought they were going to get this, and the parent had decided they were not worthy and that they were just going to spend it all overnight. So they just fixed it where they couldn't.
Yeah. Take care of that.
I mean, you know, the parent may not tell them about all this.
Yeah.
And let it be a surprise.
Not always a good surprise, but.
And that's the other thing. On your bank account, you need to put it in writing. Who owns that bank account after you die? Now, then another thing people don't realize. Sometimes they'll say, oh, I'll put my children on my bank account. Once they're on that bank account, they own half of it. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, wow.
If you put somebody on your bank account, that's half theirs then, because they're on the bank account.
Really?
Always remember that, yes.
I guess I've never thought about it.
If you put somebody on the signature, they own half the policy then, half your bank account.
Interesting. That's a good point.
I've seen that happen.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
yeah,
I bet
they put
some.
A child on there, and they can actually write you out.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh,
yeah.
Good point.
Because they own half of it.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I hadn't really, that's just my brain didn't ever went there. And so, well,
yeah, you need to be careful what you do.
Wow. All right. But, I mean, all this, when it's set up, I mean, and you go through all this with people at the beginning, and it's like, okay, how do we want to set all this up? And so you're thinking not only about the here and now, but you're also looking, you know, ahead, you know, at future
things. I'm looking ahead because you need beneficiaries, then you need a contingent beneficiary sometimes. Something could happen to the first beneficiary, so you have a contingent. Now, when it's a husband and wife, we leave it to each other. And so that part's covered. But let's say something happened to both of them. You need somebody else as contingent.
Hmm. Wow. There's a lot involved.
Yeah, you should
in
always have a contingent beneficiary.
Yeah. I guess I know we haven't really gone into a whole lot of detail about that over the years, but boy, that is a good point, you know, and to have that that perspective and to have that knowledge and that experience to make sure that people are covered with that kind of thing. I bet investors are pretty thrilled with that and pretty comfortable knowing that you've got their back like that.
And most of our clients qualify for a trust. Most of them have that much money that they probably should have a trust. A lot of them do have a trust. They've had a trust as long as I have. I've had a trust for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So everybody, if they have very many assets, they probably should have a trust because they may have ranch, they may have farmland, they may have oil and gas property.
Mm.
A lot of our people have oil and gas. So if they have a trust, it's going to cover all that.
Okay. All right. So people don't need to be a financial wizard. You can walk them through this
and
guide them and make sure that they're covered on every level.
Hmm. That's right. They should be. Don't wait till the last second. That last second may be too late and you can't make those changes you want.
Yeah.
And remember, if family decides you're senile, you're in trouble. You know, you better have all that handled.
Yeah.
And another thing, do not give your power of attorney out lightly. Lightly.
Oh, yes.
I've had people do it, and then they realize it was a terrible mistake.
Mm.
You only give power of attorney to someone you trust absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a powerful instrument. Power of attorney says they can go do anything on your behalf because you've given them permission. You said you can take care of real estate, banking, all that's on those power of attorney. So if you don't want somebody doing all that and just your health, you say, I only want you to cover my health.
Mm. Yeah.
And then a lot of people think after they die, the power of attorney is good. No, it's only good as long as you're alive. So if you're dead, the power of attorney has passed with you.
Wow.
Now the will or the trust takes over.
So the moral of the story is don't make a decision like that with a flip of a coin.
Take
it seriously.
You better think about it long and hard.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good
advice.
Well,
Cousin Minnie, wouldn't do that to me.
No. But boy, I tell you what, when there's money involved, the claws come out and you can see the ugly side of people. Oh,
that's right. And so you want to be somebody you really trust if you're going to give them power of attorney.
No doubt. Wow.
And most people do not need to do that on their banking, especially unless they're getting old and can't handle everything. Then you need a power of attorney.
Boy, that's solid advice right there. Ooh, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Got a lot of great things in there for people to read.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Christopher Columbus,
of course. Ugh, should have known.
Well, Christopher Columbus, of course, was a Spanish explorer, and he was looking for an alternate route to the Far East. And that's how he discovered America, on October the 12th, 1492.
Wow.
And then he came back again in 1493, and moved everything. But, you know, he was out there discovering all this. You know, he had three ships, the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Mm. And it took him 3 months to get to the New World. And we celebrated the second Monday of October every year.
That's this coming Monday.
Yes, and everybody calls it the Discovery of America.
Yeah.
A lot of Latin countries and others call it something else, but that's what we do. The first Columbus Day celebration took place October 12th, 1792.
Golly.
It was the Columbian Order of New York, known as Tammany Hall. They held an event to celebrate the 300th anniversary of the historic landing. And then they made a obelisk of Columbus in Baltimore. They erected that in 1792. And what gets me is, you know, we had some Columbus statues in America, and all these people that are a little different than we are have made them take the Christopher Columbus statues down.
Really?
I mean, we owe the old boy everything. Without Christopher Columbus, we wouldn't be here.
Wow. You know? I didn't know that.
Searched, he found America. I mean, I think he's one of the greatest people around because of what he did. You know, he discovered America, and if he hadn't, have, people would not have come from England, Spain, you know, everywhere in the world to live in America.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that statues had been taken down.
Oh, yeah. You know, you've got some people that are not very nice. and it was discovered to be a legal holiday through the lobby of Angelo Nost. He was a first-generation American. He was in Denver. And so the first statewide holiday was proclaimed by Colorado Governor Jesse McDonald. And that was in 1905. It was made a statutory holiday in 1907.
Hmm.
And for the 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus in 1892 in New Orleans, they killed a lot of Italian immigrants, and I don't know why, but they did. And President Harrison declared Columbus Day as a one-time national celebration, and his proclamation is read every year. During the summer of 1892, all these people used rituals to teach the ideas of patriotism, and we don't have enough of that now, as you know. But they ask them to citizenship boundaries, the importance of loyalty to our nation, the celebration of social progress, and then the Pledge of Allegiance by Francis Bellamy. And in 1934, the Knights of Columbus were lobbying, and so the New York City Italian leader, Generoso Pope, got Congress to pass a statute stating, "The president is requested to issue each year a proclamation designating October 12th as Columbus Day, and the government offices are to display the flag, on all government buildings on Columbus Day, inviting the people of the United States to observe Columbus Day in our schools and our churches.
Wow.
Or other suitable places.
And then it's
amazing to me that in World War One, all these Italian Americans were arrested and interned. I didn't know that. So the Italian and Italian Americans were they lost their rights as enemy aliens.
Really?
Everybody thought they would not be loyal to America. They would only be loyal to Italy. And so they put them away. And in 1942, Franklin Roosevelt said, this is a bunch of hogwash. He had the removal of the designation of the Italian Americans as enemy aliens. And then he announced it on Columbus Day to offer citizenship to 200,000 elderly Italians living in the United States. They weren't able to acquire citizenship due to a literacy requirement, and they weren't literate in American and English.
Wow.
But it was not completed, and they did not take them out of the camps till after Italy's surrender to the Allies on September 8th, 1943.
I didn't know any of this. I mean, this is all new, like brand new.
it's amazing to me that, all this was happening in the United States. That the Italian Americans and Columbus Day means a lot to them because that was when they were let out of the camps and were allowed to become citizens. Can you imagine?
Wow. I can't imagine. I think Columbus Day might be one of those holidays that kind of goes under the radar for most people, not realizing all the history that's tied to it. Even, obviously it goes back to 1400s, but, even into 1940s, it's just like, wow, it's this whole holiday is tied to all these things that span such a long time period and is very close to the time period that we're in right now. So I didn't realize.
I just feel really bad that the Italians, it didn't happen to the other nationalities, but the Italians, they didn't think they were going to be loyal because we had a war going on, but they had been here a long time. But most of them were not citizens because they couldn't pass the test because they did not speak English.
Wow.
And so they rounded them all up, put them behind fences and kept them there till 1942 when the Italians in Italy surrendered.
My goodness.
Yeah, 200,000 of them.
Golly.
That's a tremendous amount of people to have been, put behind fences.
Yeah, it is.
Because of their nationality and because they did not speak enough English to do a literacy test.
Wow. I'm shocked. So, I don't remember hearing about this ever.
Yeah, well, they're not teaching everything anymore. Kids could not tell you probably who Christopher Columbus is or, in 1493 what happened. Or about this Italians that were mistreated so bad. So Italians, they say Italian Americans means a lot when Christopher Columbus Day comes.
Yeah. Wow.
Because what happened to them. Yeah.
Gosh.
And even though they, Harrison said, we're going to let them out, they were not actually let out until the Italians had surrendered to the Allies.
Boy, I in a million years, if you'd given me a whole bunch of chances to guess any of this, I would have never even thought of any of this. I would have never even imagined that was even a thing. I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of things happened after he discovered America. He was looking for a shortcut to the Far East, and he came over and he discovered some other islands. Before he moved his operation and found America. And then he came back, after he had done all that, he came back that second time. So we owe everything to Christopher Columbus, but people don't hardly teach it in school anymore. A lot of people disparage the name of Christopher Columbus and have tore down some of his statues, which is wrong.
And I didn't even know that either. I had no idea.
I love statues.
Yeah.
And I love to go to the parks and see them. And I take great offense when they remove these people and the horses, you know, that are so beautiful. And I don't know how it could offend them. I really don't.
Yeah, me either. I really didn't know that people were offended by that. I mean, sometimes we think, okay, it's Christopher Columbus discovered America, you know, but it seems almost like removed for so many people. It's like we're talking about, you know, such a long time ago where men still wore tights and wigs, and you know, it's not relatable to a lot of people. We kind of forget that, you know, not only is it the basis of where we actually live, but all the things that are tied to it, you know, especially with, you know, the significance for Italians on Columbus Day. And there's so much that maybe has gone under the radar and most people either didn't know or have long forgotten. So I'm kind of like overwhelmed, really, with the history tied to it. I'm shocked.
And, you know, it's like everything else. If you forget your history, you've really done a disservice to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people look at Columbus Day as like, okay, the banks are closed on Monday. And that's kind of where it ends. But boy.
And of course, in San Francisco, you know, they have a big Italian group there. And they'll have 35,000 marchers and probably, a million people will watch their celebration with the Italian American community there in San Francisco.
Wow.
So, as I said, it means a lot to us, but it means even more to the Italian people.
No doubt. Man, this just gives us a whole new appreciation for the day and the significance of Columbus Day. Wow. That's pretty fantastic. So it's good to know. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I didn't know statues were being taken down. That kind of makes me sad.
So. It made me very sad when I heard they were going to take Christopher Columbus down. They didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just don't have anything better to do.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly.
Apparently not.
They're out here on the streets doing all this bad stuff because they want somebody to acknowledge them. I think they just want somebody to see them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I get that. But, boy, I'm sure we could find them something else to do if we tried
hard. I think we could.
So.
A rock pile is what I would have to do.
So, okay, for a life settlement, there are two risks. What do people know? What's the first
one? Okay, the biggest risk would be if it went over and you had to pay premiums. So you have to always know what the premium is, which we always tell you. That's the first thing we tell you is what it's going to cost if it goes over. The other thing is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. So you get paid at the end. You don't get paid interest along the way. You get paid at the end of the contract.
Okay. To do a life settlement, there are some restrictions, some guidelines. One needs to be accredited.
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
So that it's either one. You can be making $200,000 a year, or you need to be worth $1 million.
Okay. What about annuities for risks?
It's not that great. You have to have money at home. You have to have money to sustain you other than your annuity.
Okay. All right.
And that's basically it. And we always do a financial analysis before we do an annuity.
Okay, just to give people an idea, and I'll leave it at this, to give an idea for people who have not done either one before. If somebody's brand new, thinking, okay, well, I'm really interested in annuities, I'm really interested in life settlements, I'm not sure if I'm the type of investor that should be, you know, focused on one versus the other. Is there any kind of a guide that people might want to start at when they're like weighing the two options?
If you're younger, I would say a life settlement, because you can handle it, no problem. If you're older, if you're like 79, 80, you need to be in annuities.
Okay. All right. And you can guide people through the process and all that. And one last thing, though. How long does it take to get set up and going on either one?
Usually a week, unless it's coming from a 401k or an IRA. If it's an IRA or if it's a 401k, it'll take 2 weeks.
Okay. So pretty quick either way.
Yes.
All right. For the upcoming week, are you open on Monday, Columbus Day? Yes.
Yes. Okay. We have to work on Columbus Day.
Somebody's got to.
Somebody's got to work. Oh my gosh.
So you are available to talk to people, set up an appointment, but they do need to call. So one last time, what's your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.